Well, today we do have sort of a blended theme about this entire worship hour. We are honoring our veterans and we're saying thank you to them, but we are also honoring our Lord and we want to say thank you to Him as well. Now, normally I might have a gospel-centered message that just sort of relates to veterans on a day like today. But as I said earlier, since Cleve McClary is coming next week and we're going to have that sort of focus, then I'm going to just move forward today with our Thanksgiving season, our celebrating who we are in Christ, what God has done for us, and just saying praise to God. That's the direction that I hope that we can go today. And so I want to lead us in giving praise to the one who has blessed us so richly in our lives. And if you're not convinced today that God has richly blessed you, then today I hope the message will challenge you in that regard, because that's who our God is. He's a God who blesses. He's a God who restores. He's a God who makes new. He's a God who we should be celebrating every day and all day. As God's people, it's just simply the right thing for us to do. It's the right focus for us to have, for us to put our thoughts, to press them forward, very often, mind you, about the goodness of God displayed in our lives, to offer our sincere gratitude to this God who has given to us, again, so much, all that He's done for us. And we should say thank you. And we should do that very often, praising His name. And Psalm 103 is a most wonderful example of how we might do this. Some refer to this psalm as a joyous praise. And indeed it is. Now others refer to this psalm as David's hallelujah chorus. You ever heard of anything in the scriptures pertain to in that way? Yeah, this is it. This is David's hallelujah chorus. Nonetheless, it's a prayer that not only did David himself pray, but it's also a prayer that the Hebrew people sang year after year, decade after decade, perhaps even century after century did they sing this prayer. And mind you, many people in the Old Testament days, that was how they prayed. They often sang their prayers. And that's what this is. This is a song of praise, and yet it is a prayer at the same time. Now, in this song, David is addressing his own soul. He's praising God. He's speaking to God, but it's like he's inwardly reflecting and he's speaking to his own soul to remind himself of all of the times that God has spoken into his life, that God has shown evidence of his might and his grace being displayed in his life as well. Notice it with me in verses 1 and 2. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now, this is a prayer of nothing but praise. Notice when you read this scripture that he's not making any requests of God. He's not pleading to God about anything. David was simply awestruck with the blessings of God. He's looking at his life, and he really is, one at a time, just doing the best he can to try and count his many blessings. You know that song as well, right? Now, he could be complaining about his burdens, but he's not. This is nothing but praise. Now, it would be easy, I think, for us to think that this King David, of all people, he wouldn't have anything to complain about before God anyway. I mean, he is king. He's got everything that most people in the world probably wish they had. He's got respect. People look at him and they admire him. He's very rich. He's handsome. He's strong. He's multi-talented. He has wisdom. He's a musician. He's a songwriter. His talents, they just go on and on though. And by most people's standards, David had it all. But would it be true that David really had nothing that he could complain about to God? Not at all. David had a lot he could complain about. Part of his life he spent on the run because there was a man that he had loved very dearly. And that man that he had loved wanted to put his sword through David. He wanted to kill him. And so David was on the run for a season of his life, and he was hiding in caves. He didn't even know who he could trust in his own life. That's something to complain about, isn't it? You dig a little deeper into David's life and you begin to think about his family. He had a son who mounted a rebellion against him. That's something to complain about. He had a son, King David had a son that raped his own daughter. King David held one of his small children, a little boy, in his hands as he died. David had a lot to complain about. Friends, don't ever think that money or status elevates you to a point that your problems come to an end. These things are not problem solvers. David had everything you could have wanted in this world concerning power and possessions, even relationships. He had some really good relationships with other people. But listen to what he said in Psalm chapter 6. He says, I have to swim in my bed at night because I've cried so many tears in it. In Psalm chapter 13, he says, he wonders how much longer God is going to forget him. That's a man that has problems in his life. And yet, this man who experienced amazing sorrow, tremendous tragedy in his life, is yet one of our very best teachers of how we can praise God anyway. Because David knew that no matter how high his problems mounted, and they were mounting rapidly in his life, that God's goodness was always much more than the problems that he was facing. But how did he come to this conclusion? It's because he recognized that everything that was good in his life was a gift from God. And get this, that he did not deserve any of it. He'd not earned it. He's not paid for it. But that God has given it to him. And this is what led to this springing of hope and the depths of his heart just opening up and gushing out with this prayer of praise, as we see it here in Psalm 103. And it's a prayer that we now, each one of us, we can pray this prayer in acknowledgement of our own gratitude toward God and His might and His justice and His grace in our own lives. David was a man with strong passions. He also had strong convictions. I can imagine him now as I read and study what he's written here and how he prayed. I just envision him as a man that was full of emotion. And despite the sadness that was always lurking at his door, the challenges that were always lurking at his door, still seeing him filled with deep, heartfelt meaning toward God as he speaks these words to God. These were words that were full of life. They were full of excitement. They were full of energy. These really were words of worship. And this was not the only time that David spoke to God in this way, praised God in this way. Psalm 34, he does the same thing, does it all over again. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. What I want us to see here is that David is serious about worship. He's serious about praising God. And it wasn't just something that he did on Sunday mornings or when he was in religious ceremonies. This was his lifestyle. This was how he experienced every day. He was grateful to the Lord every single day of his life. I mean, he just said it here in Psalm 34 when he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's all exalt his name together. I will praise his name continually with my mouth. Continually is not just on Sunday. Continually is the experience of everyday life. Now let's look at verse number 3. He says, God, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. Now he's talking about a life in a relationship with God. He's talking about that spiritual connection that is both whole and very healthy. He wants us to see this is what a healthy picture of a relationship with God really looks like. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, we're told about this one who's called the Accuser. He says, there's an accuser out there. His name is Satan. He's an accuser of the brethren. That's the children of God or the people of God. So we have, just based on what John has written in Revelation 12 here about the accuser, we have every reason to believe that Satan goes to God and he makes accusations against us. He accuses us before God. Now, what does that look like? I sort of imagine, perhaps even in my own life, that it would be Satan going toward God and saying, look at what John has done. How can he really love you if he's going to act that kind of way? That's what an accuser does. Now, in John chapter 8, verse 44, we're told something else very interesting about all of this, and that is that Satan is the father of lies. Now, I know you know that, so what's interesting about that? To me, what's interesting is that when Satan yet goes to God, stands in his presence to make accusation to God about us, he actually doesn't have to lie at all. Satan's not going into the presence of God to lie to God about us. Why does he not have to lie about us? Because our sin is real. Our faults, our rebellion against God, it is real. All Satan has to do is point out what's already true about us before God. And so he makes those accusations. Now, while this is very important for us to understand, this too is also very important for us to understand. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we're told that the devil is our adversary. This quite literally means he is our enemy. But in 1 John 2, 1, we're told that we also have an advocate. We have an enemy, but we also have an advocate. One who goes to the Father on our behalf, not to make accusation against us, but one who goes to the Father on our behalf to say, when the devil does make accusation against us, to say, hold on a minute. Jesus just raises his nail-scarred hand and he says, hold on a minute. Just hold it right there. We've looked on John. We've looked on this one. And we don't see any stain of sin there. He's clean. Because he's one of mine. She's clean because she's one of mine. And Jesus would say, I have bought them. Yes, they were once stained with scarlet red because of their sin, but now they've been washed white as snow with the righteousness of Christ. Jesus says they belong to me. But verse 3 goes on, he says, he heals all your diseases. So what's he speaking of here in regard to healing? Now, many people take this to mean physical healing. And I agree that God is certainly capable of physical healing, but physical healing is not what the psalmist is writing about here. He's not talking about physical healing. Remember, he's speaking to his own soul. He's challenging his own being. What he's talking about is that God heals the diseases of the soul, not the physical body, but the soul. So what are diseases of the soul? Well, they are many. Fear is a disease of the soul. Doubt, depression, anger, lust, hate, jealousy, pride, greed. You get the point? On and on it goes. These are all diseases of the soul. And because these are diseases of the soul, we know that we have therefore been impacted by the effects of sin in our own life. But the message here is that God heals these diseases. The message is indeed that God has permanent healing power over these diseases in our lives. In Psalm 147, verse 3, the psalmist says here, he being God, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Well, friends, don't you love that? Doesn't that bless your heart to know that's what God does for his people? Now let's look on to verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now he's talking about a relationship with God that's not just a very vague relationship. He's talking about one that is deeply meaningful. Life is meaningful when God forgives us. Life becomes more meaningful when God heals the diseases of our souls and establishes that relationship with us and allows us to come into His presence and to know His peace and to know His power. This verse can also be rendered, and perhaps some versions of the Bible may say it this way, He keeps your life from going to waste. Don't you want that? Isn't that what you desire in life, is that your life would not be wasted? That not another day would go by or a season of your life go by where you've just been spinning your wheels and nothing has been accomplished that is great? How many people spend the years of their life and then all of a sudden they wake up and they realize that they've had this such a long run in their life where they've not accomplished anything great or wonderful for the glory of God. And therefore, they've not accomplished anything that really counts in their life. They spend their days in pursuit of all of these temporal things, these worldly things that will pass away. And then they wake up one day and they realize they're just tired and they're exhausted in life. And there's this deep, dark emptiness still inside of them. There's a void. It's never been filled. They've searched for all of these different things in the world to try and fill those voids. And they had those brief moments where they felt satisfied, but that quickly passed away. It's what Solomon called chasing the wind in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Solomon's another man who, by all worldly standards, he had it all, even more than David did. Solomon had the greatest measure of wealth in the world. Now, David was a very, very rich man, but Solomon had them all beat. Solomon was the wealthiest of all that the world have known. He was the one who had the greatest measure of possessions in the world as well. He was the one who had the greatest measure of physical pleasure in the world. And yet, this man who had this greatest wealth, who had this incredible wisdom too, mind you, greatest physical pleasure, greatest physical possessions as well, he still stopped and he looked back on his life and he said, you know what I've come to realize in that great wisdom that he had? None of these things matter. All of these things are meaningless. If I'm apart from God, none of them matter. In fact, if these things are all you have, in the end, you are simply going to be left feeling betrayed because you never could find the satisfaction that you were looking for in all of these things. But God, on the other hand, gives His people purpose for living. He gives them meaning in life. And He keeps our lives from going to waste. This is the benefit of living for Christ. This is the glory of life, God being manifest in our lives. God makes our lives count for something that is of eternal value. God helps us so that our lives are not in vain. He really does give us eternal significance. And this is one of the great things that David is praising God for in this psalm. Lastly, in verse number 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? He wants us to know that walking with God does bring satisfaction. Doesn't bring just lasting satisfaction, but brings eternal satisfaction. Even when we reach our old stage in life. And the satisfaction is what? What is it that God gives us that we can claim to be our satisfaction? It's for us to be able to look back on yesterday and the days before and not have any regrets about our life. That's very satisfying. And that is very much what God does for those people who walk with Him, who love Him with all their heart, who give them all of their being. The essence of who they are. Friends, if you are living in an abiding relationship, a continuing relationship with God through His Word, you cannot help but to praise Him. You cannot help but to say thank you, God, because you see the blessings and the benefits of God just being poured out on your life. And you can see it all throughout your life as you walk with the Lord. And you know all the more, too, that these are blessings and these are benefits that you did not do anything to deserve. You yourself have not earned these things, but God has given them to you as a special blessing. to increase your life, to mature you, to strengthen you. And that's the kind of passion that we see through the recognition that David is placing on God and his good hand before him. But this brings us to a very important question. How do we praise him? What does this look like? Well, David says, praise him with your whole life. But we must be careful here not to fall into the same kind of pattern, trap even, that the Israelites fell into. Saying one thing about God, but living another thing in regard to our relationship with God. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 29, verse 13. The Lord said, these people approach me with their mouths to honor me with lip service, yet their hearts are far from me. And their worship consists of man-made rules learned by mindless repetition. Woe to those who do not seek the counsel of the Lord. But David shows us how it's really done. David says, I will praise him with all that is within me. What that means? He's going to praise him with his attitude and with his actions. He's going to praise God with his family and with his finances. He's going to praise God with his work and with his words. He's going to praise God with his hobbies as well as with his habits. Everything that's within me. It's all these things. And David says, I'm going to bless his holy name. Is that the desire of your heart? Is that what you're pursuing even now in this life where you are right now, this season, this day? Are you desiring to bless God with who you are? Are you a blessing to God? Now, I know all of us have problems. None of us can escape that. And some of us have things that are going on in our lives that have just rocked our world and it's began shaping us in a way that we never really thought that we would get to that kind of place in life. But even in the midst of our problems, even in the midst of our sorrows, David says, I will praise him continually. When's the last time you stopped, even in the midst of chaos, bombarding you from every side? When's the last time you really stopped to consider the benefits of God in your life and the blessings of God? When's the last time you really stopped to consider how you've been able to not just know the benefit of knowing God, but that you've been able to enjoy the benefits of knowing God? You see, for those that love the Lord with all of their heart, for those that love the Lord with all that is within them, what they experience is, well, first of all, we experience forgiveness. Do you really know what it's like to walk through this world and know that you've been forgiven by God and how much of a benefit that is for you? Furthermore, we experience His mercy. We get to experience His peace. We get to experience an ever-changing heart. Now, some of us may not be experiencing an ever-changing heart, though. Some of us may have experienced a changing of our heart earlier on in our walk with Christ, but we've reached a point where we've stopped letting God change our hearts. But as long as you live in this world, friends, you need to know that there will never be a moment when God does not still desire to change your heart. We've not gotten there yet. And you will not get there until you reach eternity. Not only that, though, but those that give the Lord all that is within them, they get to experience also His ever-increasing wisdom. Now, I'm not asking you if you think you're smarter today than you were yesterday, but I'm asking you, do you see the wisdom of God growing in your life? If your heart is ever-changing for God, you will see an ever-increasing wisdom given to you by God. If your heart ever stops changing for God's glory, you will not notice an ever-increasing wisdom from God. But there's so much more. The benefits of walking closely with the Lord, the benefits of giving Him all that you are, there are many more. So friends, I want to ask you, as you consider these things today, are you really living a meaningful and significant satisfied life in Christ, for Christ? Or does your soul perhaps have a disease that needs to be healed this morning, so that you can bless the Lord with all that is within you, so that you can know that you have eternal purpose for the glory of God to be seen in your life? Will you pray with me? Father, as we think about these many things to praise you for, and we thank you that David is reminding us of all of these powerful and important points for us as believers to know and to live. Father, I pray that these, your people that have gathered, Lord, that they will praise you with all of their heart, that they will give to you all that is within them. But Father, if there are those among us today, and I'm sure that there are, perhaps even more than we'd like to think that there could be, Lord, that have reached a place of stagnation, have reached a place where they're no longer growing spiritually, have come to realize even that they've never been connected with you, that your source of life has not been the power that they've known. They've been living in their own power. But Father, that today would be the end of all of that. And Lord, that we each one, with whatever disease is burdening our soul, hindering us from living in this world to know you more, Father, that we would come to you for healing today. Healing of the soul. Father, bless this congregation and those that hear this message. Bless them with the truth, the reality of where they are before you, that they would see themselves just as you see them today. And Father, if they are blessing you with all of their soul, Father, may they be encouraged and affirmed by your Holy Spirit. But Father, if we are living unthankful, ungrateful lives before you, may we know the truth of that today, and may we surrender that to you, so that we will indeed live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing our song of invitation now, I invite you, friends, if there's something that God is speaking to your heart about, most of all salvation, but it could be anything else, that you would be counted as a child of God, that you would know the strength and the power of God at work in your life, come to me today and let me pray with you. Or perhaps you just want to come and pray at the altar yourself. Maybe God's been speaking to your heart about joining this church and bringing your gifts and your talents here to help minister in this body as well as to this community for the name of Jesus. If God's speaking to your heart about joining this fellowship, come and let us know that today as well. Whatever the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you about today, don't make yourself quiet in response to Him. Be very active and vocal in your response to Him, and make your response an obedient one as we come to Jesus now.